Our practice on the first Lord's Day of the month is to meditate on a psalm that we will sing throughout the whole month to give understanding to the words that are here. This psalm is longer. I am going to read it in its entirety, partially because I'm convinced that God uses His Word, partially because I want you to hear of God's dealing with the children of Israel. So please give attention as I read Psalm 78. A contemplation of Asaph. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in His law, and forgot His works, and His wonders that He had shown them. Marvelous things He did in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and He made the waters stand up like a heap. In the daytime also He led them with the cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock that caused waters to run down like rivers. But they sinned even more against Him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. And they tested God in their heart by asking for the food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness?" Behold, He struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can He give bread also? Can He provide meat for His people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in His salvation. Yet He had commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven, had rained down manna on them to eat, and given them of the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and by His power He brought in the south wind. He also rained meat on them like the dust, feathered fowl like the sand of the seas, and He let them fall in the midst of their camp, all around their dwellings. So they ate and were well filled, for He gave them their own desire. They were not deprived of their craving, but while their food was still in their mouths, the wrath of God came against them, and slew the stoutest of them, and struck down the choice men of Israel. In spite of this, they still sinned, and did not believe in His wondrous works. Therefore their days He consumed in futility, and their years in fear. When He slew them, then they sought Him, and they returned and sought earnestly for God. Then they remembered that God was their rock, and the Most High God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered Him with their mouth, and they lied to Him with their tongue, for their heart was not steadfast with Him, nor were they faithful in His covenant. But He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time He turned His anger away and did not stir up all His wrath. For He remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power, the day when he redeemed them from the enemy, when he worked his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, turned their rivers into blood and their streams that they could not drink. He sent swarms of flies among them which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them. He also gave their crops to the caterpillar and their labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost. He also gave up their cattle to the hail and their flocks to the fiery lightning. He cast on them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble by sending angels of destruction among them. He made a path for his anger. He did not spare their soul from death, but gave their life over to the plague and destroyed all the firstborn of Egypt, the first of their strength in the tents of Ham. But he made his own people to go forth like a flock, and he led them on safely so that they did not fear. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies, and he brought them into his holy border, this mountain which his right hand had acquired. He also drove out the nations before them, allotted them an inheritance by survey, and made the tribes of Israel dwell in their tents. Yet they tested and provoked the Most High God and did not keep his testimonies, but turned back and acted unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their carved images. When God heard this, he was furious and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent he had placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hand. He also gave his people over to the sword and was furious with his inheritance. The fire consumed their young men, and their maidens were not given in marriage. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awoke as from sleep, like a mighty man who shouts because of wine. And he beat back his enemies and put them to a perpetual reproach. Moreover, he rejected the tent of Joseph and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth which he has established forever. He also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes that had young, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. And meditation does not delve into each and every verse, and it's not my intention to go through this exegetically and look at every verse, but instead to get the big picture of this psalm. It's a psalm that tells the history of how God delivered Israel from their slavery to Egypt. It describes his great power over his enemies, his love and care for his people, and his faithfulness to his promises. It speaks of timeless truths. It prefigures Christ and the redemption that we have in him, because God has sent Jesus to redeem us as his people from our bondage. It's a psalm that also tells honestly how often God's people would turn away from him and rebel against him. This too is a timeless truth. This too is a truth that points forward to Christ. It points forward to Christ in that the Lord has redeemed us from rebellion and sin and is sanctifying or making us righteous in his sight. That we, like The Israelites of this psalm are can confess our sin before the Lord day in and day out. In fact, the psalmist uses this historical account to teach the church of every age the importance of God's faithfulness and of our need of His forgiveness. The psalm closes with a recounting of that faithfulness when it says, "So He shepherded them according to the integrity of His heart and guided them by the skillfulness of His hands." It's referring to David originally, but looking beyond David to the great King of Kings, Jesus Christ, the one who would come to perfectly shepherd us. Go back to the very first of the psalm then, because I want you to see especially this the use of this psalm in our families. And it's this especially that I would have you meditate on, that God has given His word and especially this psalm to train our children. The psalmist uses this account to, in fact, admonish us and to encourage us in every age to train our children in the timeless truths of God's power over His enemies and our need of trusting in Him. We need to hear and we need to tell our children of how it is in man's heart to be prone to rebel, but how God is merciful to forgive all who call on Him. Every child and every adult needs to hear that in Jesus Christ there is forgiveness that addresses the rebellion that is deep in our hearts. Because of that, I would urge you to take this psalm and in your families make it a meditation for this month. Read different portions of it so that you would learn these truths. In fact, let us not hide these truths from our children, but as these first verses say, let us tell the generations to come the praises of the Lord and His strength, His wonderful works that He has done, that the generations that come may make them known to their children. As we sing this psalm throughout the month and as we meditate on it, may God use these timeless truths to point us to Jesus. I invite you to take your psalters now to sing it. We'll use selection A and in fact use that selection throughout the month, urging us to teach and train our children these truths. I invite you to please stand to praise God using 78A.